Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Guys, this is the third episode on our series of deal structuring straight from the CRM, where Jeff literally just takes a lead out of his CRM. We give you the details on that, and then we create offers. And so the last two episodes, we went over both those offers. We went over an interest hybrid offer and then a 30-year amortized offer. Now we're going to go over a third offer that Jeff made on this property. And the details are, it's a 3-bed, 2-bath, 2-car garage in Arizona. It's 2,100 square feet. It's in a really hot market. It was built in 2016, so fairly new. It's in excellent condition. Owner lives there. The owner is open to terms. It's free and clear, so there's tons of flexibility there. It's in excellent condition. I said that already. There's a $108 a month HOA fee, and the seller thinks it's worth $400,000. That's what he wants. He wants something around that $400,000. The Zestimate has it at $339,000, and Jeff thinks it could rent for $19,000 to $2,000 a month. So based on that, we quickly determined that there's not much cash flow there for a landlord. There's not any real equity that we can get out of the gate to wholetail it or wholesale it to a rehabber. So what we concluded is that the best exit strategy for this property would be to sell it to an owner occupant and collect a fee upfront from them, a down payment. So let's get into that third offer, Jeff. On our last two offers, you know, the seller grossed, I think, $421K on the first after 3 years. On the second offer, he grossed $450, just amortizing it over that 360 months for 5 years. So we were able to give him a little more there. So where do we go from here? How do you get it? How do you put together a third offer on this?
Glad you asked.
So I never would.
So remember, one of the things that we talked about at the close of last episode was that, hey, I'm really pretty happy with the first two offers. I think we would be in the realm of possibility, and with the possibility of even a little flexibility, right? As long as it's not my down payment. That's the one issue that we have with those two offers, is that the down payment is right around the 5-7% range, and the seller may want us to have more skin in the game, may need money for other potential investments or issues or whatever the case may be, right?
Yep.
So this property is free and clear. So I will correct one thing you said, that these weren't grosses. These are nets. This is what the seller will get, right? Free and clear. So what makes sense to me here is, because it's free and clear and we have literally every strategy available to us, that we use the subordination offer here. And the reason for it is that, why, Jonathan? What does the subordination offer give us that the others don't?
A huge down payment to
the... We can offer the seller more money up front. Yep. So that is exactly what we are going to do. And so now keep in mind that the way that I structured this is that I am going to do principal only payments on a second mortgage, which means that the price is what the seller nets. And if there's no interest, they're not gaining any, you know, any interest on their equity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise the price higher than the other two even. Remember, this guy's price conscious, and I probably could have gone even a little bit higher, but I'll show you why I didn't. And so I decided, and you can tell some of this is mathematical, but some of this is, hey, I'm just going to pick numbers here, and then I'm going to just verify that my numbers work. And so I already know he wants 400,000. Now we've already come in at 395 and 390.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to come in at 405 on this one.
405 purchase price. Okay.
Yep. And now what I'm trying to figure out here is we're going to do a subordination, which means that we are telling the seller we're going to borrow money against his property in first position. And we're going to ask the seller to subordinate to that first mortgage and take back his equity in second position behind a new loan. Okay. In reality, it is just like him going and getting a home equity line or refinancing a portion of this. Correct. That loan is in first position. His equity is now in second position. Okay. The only difference is that we're going to be making the payment on this private loan. And that's what it should be, private loan. Really quickly, let's define the difference between private and hard money. Hard money typically has a shorter term with it. It typically has points and it's typically higher rate of interest.
Right.
Hard money in the state of Utah where we're at, and you would know this better than I would. Typical rates are what, Jonathan, right now?
2 and 12, 2 points, 12% interest.
I would totally agree with that. That's so I don't want that. That is not what I'm looking for here.
Yeah, it won't work.
What I am looking for is going to my local RIA meetups and telling everyone, how would you like the most secure kind of deal that you could ever have? So you really have no risk. And I will pay you 6% interest on your self-directed IRA that you can be tax deferred or tax exempt from, and you can continue to grow it for the next, let's say, 4 or 5 years. And we'll pay you out monthly. Yep. What do you think, Jonathan? You think anyone might take that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's people that have money sitting in IRAs or even their own bank account, and they don't earn anything on it. So they're looking.
I'm not looking for someone that's in the business of lending, right?
Right.
That is not what I'm looking for. Yeah. I am not allowed to guarantee any kind of
returns on investments.
Right. But what I'm going to tell them is that this is about as close to a guarantee as you're ever going to get. And I'm going to show them, and I'm going to show you in a second here too. So, but I want to be careful, because the more money that I borrow on this loan, the higher my payment gets quite quickly, right? On the first two, we're at 2.5% and 3.5%. At this, we're going to be, you know, I like to plan for 6 or 7%, right? So, okay. I personally think you can get it at 6%, but give yourself a little leeway, right? So let's make sure of it. And but the more money you're borrowing, the higher your payment is, and we still got to pay the seller on his equity.
Yep.
So the more you're paying on that loan, the less you're able to pay the seller. So you got to try to find the right balance, and the right balance is less is more.
Right.
So in this case, I chose $70,000. Why? Because it's significantly more than the $27,000 that I offered in option two, and that's more than the 21,000 I offered in option one.
Right.
70,000 at 7% interest would be a payment of $408.33 a month. 70,000 at 6%, and this is interest only, right? Would be 350. Okay, so we're going to base this on our 350 monthly payment. But when you're going through this, you can certainly base it on the higher of the two payments.
But you're basing it off of 6 or 7%.
Six.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so I already know that we've already identified, right, where we would want to be payment-wise, right? Yeah. We don't want to exceed that $1,600. And what we figured out is that we can actually make some cash flow at $1,600, right, if we wanted to stay in the middle. And I would tell you that when you're offering this seller carryback subordination, more often than not, you do want to stay in the middle. This isn't really an assignment because not enough investors will understand that they've got to go borrow private funds in first position. Then they got to pay you an assignment fee. It's going to be a little more confusing to explain. So what I would tell you is that be the bank. Buy it yourself. I mean, you're buying it no money down. Right, I'm borrowing all the money to get into this deal, so I've already found the 70,000. Now, what we need to do is what is the seller's equity? What's left?
335.
That's going to be the principal balance on the new note to the seller.
Yep.
Okay. So we have a monthly payment of 350. We know we can make money at 16, but what I'd like to do is, so there's two key things that we're trying to structure here. One is we want to leave enough money for cash flow, but we want to make a payment large enough that it makes sense for the seller. And the last part is that at the end of this, we need this to pay down a bit, right? So we don't want to owe $405,000 at the end of 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. We need some principal pay down because we haven't put any money down.
Right.
So we will owe $70,000 at the end of our term, no matter what. So this is where we're going to do principal only.
Okay.
So what I did is I picked $1,100. And that would put me at a total payment of what, Jonathan?
350 plus. You said 1100?
Yep.
1450.
Okay, so do we already know that would be worthwhile staying in the middle? I think.
Yeah.
Yep, we were at around $300 on the other two options, and I'm $150 less, so I'm going to be up around 450-ish cash flow.
Okay. So okay. 1,100 a month, principal only for how many years?
So now really what I'm trying to do is figure out what's the shortest amount of time that I can offer. But at the same time, I got to get enough principal pay down.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this 1,100 and I'm going to times it by 36. Okay, that's about 40 grand. That's almost 10%, or right around 10%. So I could get by with 36, but I decided to go with 42. So right in the middle of the other two.
Okay.
So 42 times 1,100 is $46,200. So I'm going to have principal pay down of $46,200. So if I take that, and I deduct it from the seller's $335,000 note, I will owe the seller $288,800 after 42 months.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So why am I making this offer and why is it a benefit to the seller? Well, I'm making this offer strictly because I can offer the seller more money up front. Now the seller is only netting 405 for staying in this for 3.5 years. You know, they net 422 basically for staying in it for 3 years on option one. They make 450 for staying in it for 5 years. So is this the one that's going to pay them the most?
No, it's not.
It is not. But what I tried to do is keep it short term. Okay. So if 5 years is too long, maybe 3.5 isn't. If there is an absolute need for more cash up front, then this probably gets some serious consideration. And he's still getting his price actually above. I probably could have even come a little bit higher, maybe 408, 409, 410. But I want to be sure I get some principal pay down here. So let's look at, would this make sense to stay in the middle? Okay. So let's take our 425 again that we're going to sell. And let's say we're going to get $40,000 down. 385, I think we decided on 4.5%, right?
Yep.
See, sometimes I don't clear my calculator out and it does not work right.
So now you're looking at what we're selling it to our buyer for, right?
That's right.
We're still using 425.
Yep. So we have a payment of 1950. Where are we at? 1450.
Yeah.
So we have a $500 a month cash flow. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We also, how much money do we have to give out of the down payment to the seller?
How much money out of the down payment? Nothing. We keep it all.
So we keep 40 grand. Now we have $500 a month. Okay, let's say in 42 months, what's this balloon payment?
425 with 40K down. I didn't do it yet. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh, so I got 361,984. Okay. So after 42 months, the buyer will owe us 361,984. What do we owe after 42 months? So we owe 288,800.
Yep.
Plus 70.
Oh, yeah. Plus the 70.
Yeah. Don't forget that. we're at 350, almost 359.
358, yeah.
358. So there's not a lot of back end to this deal, but we make the 40 grand up front and we're making $500 a month. How much does that net us over the whole thing? 500 times 42. It's 21,000. We make 61,000 plus maybe a couple grand at the end. So $63,000-$64,000 on this deal. Does this part work? This part works. So now what I've done is I've come up with three different offers. With the idea that we are going to sell this to an owner occupant, and all three of them will work for the owner occupant. Now we're just trying to figure out what will work for the seller. We've got all three in the realm of what they're asking for purchase price wise. They're competitive in terms of payment. They are going to net the seller anywhere from 405 to 450, depending on how long he wants to stay in it. The first two probably suit his needs better than the third one, unless the down payments are too low. Then the third one may come into play. So this is how, you know, what we want to do when we're looking at leads is immediately try to figure out what are our exit strategies and then build offers based on what it is that the seller wants and either what we want or our buyer would want.
Right. Correct. I love it. And I'm just putting these numbers in the notes here. These numbers will be in the show notes. So
you do take a lot of notes when we do this.
Oh, I have to. I'm gonna keep up with you, man. I'm sitting here trying to write all this down, and you're like, "What do we owe the seller?" I'm like, "I'm not even doing it."
Well, the next one,
punching it in my calculator now.
The next three episodes, we're gonna do the same thing, except that now I'm gonna work with Jonathan. He's going to lead the discussion, the conversation, with, a little assistance from me.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to do the same thing, take a lead, and I'll work through the offers. And I'll come up with offer one, offer two, and offer three, and we'll do it just the same.
Yep.
So if you enjoyed these last episodes, hopefully you'll enjoy that one too. I might stumble a little more than Jeff does, but we'll get it
done. But that's the whole point is, Jonathan, I think that you are more of the what people look at, because they're on this journey with you. And, I already understand this. You're still learning this. So are they. And the questions that you're going to come up with, they're going to come up with too. So that's why I like to kind of reverse it around and see what happens with it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, guys. Well, hope you've enjoyed this. Please go out there and rate and review our show. If you love this and you want more of this content, and if this really helps you understand creative financing. And again, if you're not able to, at the time you listen to these episodes, go back and grab your financial calculator and run through it, because that's how it all really comes together. As the student, Jeff, working through the numbers with Jeff, this is how I really learn how to use creative financing and how to put offers together. So you can find all of our episodes at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. If you guys are interested in special access to a video that Jeff puts together that goes through step-by-step just what we're doing here, but in video format on creating offers on a single family home, text CFP or Creative Financing to our hotline number 877-409-8090 to get that. And then also Jeff offers an apprenticeship program, and where it's a wholesaling based program nationwide. And if you're interested in joining that, please email Rebecca. That's R-E-B-E-C-C-A at weofferoptions.com. And she'll get you the info needed for that. And then if you guys are interested in the Creative Financing Academy, DM us on Facebook, or you can leave us a message on our hotline, and we'll get you info on that as well. Any last words, Jeff?
So two things. Join our Facebook group, right?
Join our Facebook group. I forgot.
Yeah, the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. You can ask your questions. We want to start using people, having them on our show, using their deals is something that we can help with. So certainly get involved in our Facebook group, and don't get yourself overwhelmed if you're like, well, I'm not sure how all this kind of came about. It's practice. This is practice. And I've said this a number of times, what you have to look at is that this is the pieces of a puzzle. It's like a Rubik's cube, and you've got to find the right combinations that are going to work. And is there an exact? No, there's not. There's a range. And some people would say you're offering too much on these deals, and they might be right. But my goal is that I've got to get the seller to accept first. Right. So I got to make it enticing for the seller to accept. We're in a really hot market or markets. And so I'm trying to make it more appealing to a seller where it still makes sense for me. And I look at this as I try to monetize the leads that we generate. And when I say monetize, that we might buy it and stay in it and wholesale it. We might buy it, sell it on terms, stay in the middle. We might wholesale it and be done with it. Whatever we need to do to protect, to potentially generate revenue for these particular leads is what we're trying to accomplish. And it starts with getting the offer accepted with an idea of where we're going to go with it as an exit strategy. So start there, keep listening, get involved in our Facebook group, and then know that it becomes about repetition.
Right. It definitely does. And every time we run through these deals and I'm using my financial calculator, that's what it is for me. It's all repetition, and really it starts to click and come together that way. So definitely do that. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.